Hello and welcome to Label Sessions Presents, the podcast where we talk to the most interesting people about all the things you need to know in the world of innovation, business, design, tech, and culture. I am Fazlan Esau, and today we're joined by two brand new additions to the Label Sessions expert roster, as well as Josh Nixon from the Label Sessions team. Hello, everyone.
Hello.
Hi.
Thanks for having me.
So hello and welcome to Charlotte Dewhurst, the brand builder who leads with curiosity. Charlotte brings clarity to chaos, helping brands, teams, and leaders cut through noise, reset, and move with purpose. Welcome, Charlotte.
Thank you. Thanks for having me.
Amazing. And also a big welcome to Mai Fenton, the CMO who turns marketing into a growth engine. Mai brings structure, insight, and commercial edge to marketing teams, repositioning brands, and unlocking momentum where it matters most. Welcome to both of you.
Hi. Thanks for the introduction. It's a pleasure to be here.
Awesome. So we'll jump straight into our first question and our first topic of the day. And it is a very interesting one. It is the global sensation that is the Labubu. So they have seemingly come out of nowhere, although they've been around for like the last 10 years, but over the last 6 months have just made pop art grow tremendously. At the same time, Nike seems to be really struggling to really capture the youth market again that they used to be so prevalent in. Across the retail landscape, we're seeing brands like Claire's and River Island sort of on their last legs. What can leaders learn from the incredible branding success of Labubu in such a short space of time? And if you're leading a brand that has to change what needs to be on your agenda in the next 100 days, how do you push that forward? So we'll kick off with Mai.
Such an interesting topic. Actually, I heard about Labubu a lot, and your article prompted me to research a little bit more. I have two teenage children, and by the way, they're not Labubu fans at all. But yeah, they have certainly experienced a fascinating meteoric rise. But I'd say, you know, I think this kind of trajectory, I don't think is right for every brand, or right or realistic for every brand, every business, you know, every sector. So, you know, this kind of growth is super exciting, but it can also be short-lived. So I'm watching out to see, you know, how they're underpinning this amazing growth. And if they have the right foundations and the right sort of forward plans for that. I think the real lesson for leaders is really to understand why created the buzz. You know, it's not about the pace of growth, but, you know, what underpins it. And, you know, for Labubu, it's, you know, it's been, clarity of position, emotional resonance, a re-understanding of their audience and what makes them tick, the cultural timing of it, you know, the trend of, what is it called, ugly cute, community engagement that they're doing very well, and I think better than Nike, by the way. And also that they've tapped into some very good sort of bias, sort of principles of sort of scarcity, surprise, collectibility, and I think that's those principles are really worth studying and considering if you're a leader that needs to take your brand through change. So I think, you know, that the focus for the next 100 day for these leaders is kind of back to the fundamentals of marketing, really. It's about how do you reconnect with your customers and sharpen up your story, you know, what your brand stands for, and then adapt your marketing around it. And obviously energizing the organization around this kind of new sort of new purpose, new strategy, and putting the right metrics in place to measure it.
100%.
There's loads that are very specific, obviously, to Labubu in terms of, you know, how they jumped on that trend. I think this is interesting because, you know, as a society, we're less about perfection, beauty is different. They tapped into what could seem like gimmicks in such a smart way, I guess. I would be very interested, and I'm sure a lot of people asking themselves, is that going to be a fad? How are they going to sustain that growth? Because there's been a lot of Be Real. I don't know if you remember Be Real, but it was the social platform that my daughter for like maybe maximum 3 weeks got so addicted, and then, you know, so Be Real, fidget spinners, etc. So these can be fads. Labubu's have the potential with the brand, you know, to build an ecosystem around it. How would they do it? How are they going to avoid user fatigue?
That's a really good point, Mai, that you made there in terms of, is it going to be just a fad? Because the more I researched into it too, the more I thought that it's like this year's sort of Squishmallows or Like, it feels like a continuation of like a Funko Pop as well. Like, there's so many of these sort of collectible, cutesy sort of brands that sort of pop up and sort of come and go. They're not necessarily in the dirt, but they are, they're still sort of there, but they've had the time in the sun, and then they're sort of just slowly bubbled along in the background now. And I wonder if Labubu is going to really capitalize on that, but I don't really know how they could, because, you know, it's an overexposure thing. It's also like, what happens when you collect them all? Do they just keep releasing more? Do people get fed up? You know, it's sort of there's no monoculture anymore, like you say.
Yeah. I guess that's kind of the point. And, you know, when I was thinking about this, I was thinking about the unique ingredients of Labubu, as Mai has articulated brilliantly. And, you know, I think back to the 80s when I was growing up, and trolls were a thing, and there's very little that is different to what was going on then than what's going on now. And I guess that kind of, when it's gone, it's gone, it's a fad, is kind of part of the hallmark of it, although trolls are now having their renaissance. You know, the difference in the 80s when I was collecting trolls was that there wasn't the whole social community element, but there was community. Like, I was going into school going, I want the green hair, you've got the pink hair, can we swap? So I think the idea of scarcity and fads and things that are time bound are really brilliant for retailers, and actually things that if I were Claire's or River Island or many other retailers in that same kind of bracket, I would 100% be thinking about that. I think Primark do a brilliant job, as do Aldi, of creating the hype, the buzz around products. I think Primark in particular do a great job of embracing the kind of East Asian pop culture. You know, thinking about Hello Kitty a few years ago when that first came prolific in the UK market, Manchester's my local Primark store. And so, you know, they had a whole area that, you know, you would go in at 9 o'clock in the morning, people would be coming as a destination. You know what, when the stock was gone, it was gone. Then they had the cafe, which popped up again. Sometimes that was bubble tea, sometimes that was Central Perk with friends. They do a really great job of retail kind of storytelling. And, you know, when I talk to customers about what they want from a retail experience, consistently across all markets, they'll say one thing, and that is, it needs to be fun, it needs to be entertaining, it needs to be an experience. And that's really hard when you are an operator and you've got 700 stores and you've got stock to get out, and you've got to think about all of the practicalities of operations. So I get it, I get why businesses, and retail businesses in particular, that were kind of an age where there was more of a simple single channel retail experience, are now struggling. But thinking about how that kind of that element of scarcity, of fun, of collectability, of when it's gone, can drive demand. In driving reasons to shop, Aldi do a great job of that. You know, it's Thursday, what's in the middle aisle of Aldi? You know, Lidl do it as well. And people do the promotion and the hype, you know, for the brands, which is kind of like the secret sauce of marketing. Like, if we exist to do one thing, it's to drive demand. So I'm a big believer, as Mai said, that, you know, proposition is everything. And if I were a retail brand that were thinking about how to stay relevant, I would go back to basics. I would literally investigate every single word of my proposition and really think about how that is appealing to consumers today.
Awesome. I think it also really highlights the fact that, you know, for the last sort of few years, marketing has been very focused on performance marketing. And this is something we've touched on before in this podcast, is sort of that return to brand marketing and marketing and experience and the values of the brand again, instead of just being sort of driven by metrics.
I completely agree. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, because the entire Labubu experience is just, you know, I mean, it is, it's hype. It's, you know, it's hype that's been built up. It's the Beanie Babies of this generation, because everything's in the reseller market. And there's also this kind of really interesting thing where they have created this community, both online and offline. And that also shows this kind of interest for people. And this is sort of in direct opposition to Nike, is that people are looking for things that are more individual. They're looking for things that aren't just mass produced. They want, you know, that like we mentioned, the scarcity of it. They want to be able to say, I have this one that no one else has. And I think that's what we're seeing is sort of this mass movement away from potentially the fast fashion culture we've seen over the last few years, as people realize that they are looking for their individuality a bit more.
So I think that collaborations are really key. I think if I was a Nike or a big retailer that had a product handwriting that was, you know, of a time, I would be thinking about how to bring in collaborations from individuals. I think people want to, more than ever now, consume products that come from interesting sources. Mm-hmm. And frankly, you know, Nike doesn't feel like an interesting source anymore because it's mass produced. It represents so much about what we often try and avoid in consumption culture. But actually, you know, what if they were able to collaborate with up and coming designers from all different cultures and areas of the world to bring through some more diversity, not only in their product, but in representing different communities and different ideas? I think there's something around if you are sitting there as a retailer or a brand going, oh my goodness, it's too hard. Look outside, look at partners, look at collaborations, look at people that could help you get there really quickly, because that's what people want. And it's a win-win situation.
Yeah, the Boobies have really tapped into influencer marketing. I think if I understand correctly, they got really lucky about 5 years ago because they've been in existence for a while, and that K-pop band artist, right, just I don't think it was an engineered sort of piece of influencer marketing, right? So they got really lucky. This super influential, cool lady starts posting everybody on social. So there is really, for the right product, the right brand, so much power behind influencer marketing. And in fact, Gymshark, that's how they grew, right, so fast. I mean, no one would have thought that there was room for another sports brand when they launched, and a lot of micro-influencer, a bunch of micro-influencers helped to raise the brand, and I believe it's still a very successful sportswear brand amongst young people, Gymshark. So there's, I guess, another learning is, you know, what's the right channel for your audience, and the power of storytelling is key. You know, like I was thinking about Lego when I was sort of reflecting on Labubu, who they're absolutely amazing, right, as a brand and how they span generations. But I think they have such a strong purpose, which I think Labubu is going to have to think about if he doesn't want to be just a fad. You know, for Lego, it's about, I think, building it's about creating the builds of tomorrow, so something along those lines, right? And it's really powerful, and it does span various generations. It gets endorsed by adults, and I think you mentioned, communities, which I think Labubu have been more successful than Nike in building a participative community, you know, where you can co-create, share ideas and so on, you know, tapping into the power of UGC and unboxing, et cetera, from their community. So that's another, I guess that's probably helped propel, you know, their growth over the last 6 months. And again, I suppose a principle that is worth sort of considering for any brands that, they need to rethink their marketing.